Turn with me to 1 Peter as we continue to make our way through this letter to the churches. I will begin reading at verse 3, the portion we've covered previously, and read through verse 9. Hear these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith for the salvation of your souls. May the Lord add His blessings to the precious word authored by the Holy Spirit, penned by the Apostle Peter for you here today. I'd like to ask you to look in the bulletin and make sure you see the title of the sermon here today. When bad things happen to good people. When bad things happen to good people. Many of you may be, some of you may be familiar with a book that was written some, I think it's about 25 years ago now, and has sold over 4 million copies. Yours, if you have one, may not look like this because they do recover them from time to time. But When Bad Things Happen to Good People, authored by Rabbi Harold Kushner. I read portions of this week. And I wish I could say I would commend it. But first of all, the rabbi shows great empathy and great understanding and great caring for people who have gone through and are going through tremendous tragedies, tremendous events in their lives. He very boldly takes the position of upholding the person in that time, which, of course, we all should do. But then I have to say that I'm very disappointed in his approach or in his speaking of God in those tragedies. And to summarize it very briefly, his main theme is that God is not able to work through all those tragedies. There are just some things He cannot do. And that's when I tossed the book under my nightstand. Because I think we know a God that's different. But the question still stands. The statement is still made. When bad things happen to good people. Well, as you look at that statement, I would like to ask you to follow along with me for just a moment. And let's take it apart a bit. I believe there are some assumptions made in that statement that we need to be clear about, or at least have a conversation concerning. Assumptions. First of all, when bad things happen to good people, that word good people. What is good? Are there, in fact, good people? Well, we would all answer that question by saying yes, of course. But we must understand and we must draw a line and we must have the capability of discussing this at a much bigger plane or in a different place than just at the surface level. We must go further. Are there good people? Yes. If we use our own people-oriented assessment methods, if you will, when we look at someone and they're doing a good deed for another, then we will say, that's a good thing. But if we look at this word good, if we look at the biblical idea of good, we may find another answer. Romans 9:12, which is one many of you probably could recite, it says that all have turned away and there is no one who does good, not even one. Even Jesus, when addressed as the good master, he remarked, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good," and he, of course, is referring to the Father. So, given this, which one of us would stand to say, "I am good"? So, looking at things from a biblical perspective, which we would always encourage, are we good? Yes, but only in one way and in only one condition, in only one state, are we good. Only in Christ are we good, because there is truly no good thing or good person outside the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible will refer to many individuals as good, well done, good and faithful servant. But it is the condition of servant. It is the condition of being in Christ that one would gain or be identified or acknowledged as good. So to say bad things happen to good people. Really? And then another assumption that I think is contained in this sentence, and that is using the word bad. When bad things happen, what is bad? What are bad things? Do bad things happen? Well, of course. I guess we would say again, using our assessment methods of using our ability to look at things, then there are things that occur that we don't agree with. There are things that occur that seem unfair. There are things that hurt us, and we would refer to them as bad. But be careful, because bad can be a very subjective term. On a more humorous side, Jeff McNeely and I were having a conversation because I went to him for some help. And I told Jeff, or asked Jeff, about how I would go about beginning the process of having the speed limit reduced out here on New Sterling. I would like to go so far as to put in some giant speed bumps. I'd love to see that white pickup, woo, launched as I'm walking my grandson out there. But anyway, but I was curious about changing the speed limit out there. That would be a good thing, to reduce the speed limit so that we would be safe around here. I mean, after all, your kids are playing in this church ground many times through the week, so I'd like to lower it. Well, I asked Jeff about that, and he said, no, that would be a bad thing, because it would make me late for work. Now, I did ask Jeff if I could use that before I stood here. But see how bad, now again, that's humorous, but bad thing, bad, the word bad can be a subjective term. What is, after all, bad? And when we are looking at the spiritual condition, the spiritual nature of things, as this statement would lead us to, when bad things happen to good people, we are in the spiritual world. We are in the spiritual dynamic. And so we shouldn't be using as our own, we shouldn't use our own methods of assessment. Because that gets really relative, because you get into your own dynamic of what is good and bad and evil and all that stuff. But what again, what if we look at this from a biblical perspective? Are the things that we call bad really eternally harmful to us? The Westminster Confession of Faith, we've read it here many times. I've used it many times because it's such a profound statement that God has decreed, God has ordained all things. And I'm paraphrasing here to a great degree. But he has ordained all things so that all things might come together for the conduct or for the fulfillment of his will. So if we fit ourselves into that definition, if we fit ourselves into the context of God ordained all things and a bad thing occurs, but yet it's something that God is aware of and then there's something greater in it, do we call that bad? If God has ordained it and we are his children, can we call it bad? He said he would never tempt us. He said he would never allow a burden greater than we could bear. So are these things bad? Or are there events which occur, which we would term trials, which we might term tribulations, that we might term great heartaches? Are these events bad, or are they really for our growth? Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, if you'll remember from the Sermon on the Mount, said, Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. You young folks, next time you're in school, somebody curses you, say thank you and rejoice. That would be hard to do. Very difficult to do. But it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets and me before you. Then James, a familiar passage in James, all of you know it. James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. So the things that we would refer to as bad, can we really? And please understand, I'm speaking entirely of the spiritual context of our eternal being. Because many of these things are brought toward us and allowed to occur in our lives for the testing of our faith. And therefore, for our growth. James' passage is familiar to us. Trials and turmoil, tribulations will come. A few particulars, and some rather personal. Is the passing away of my daughter at age 16, is that a bad thing? It was a horrible thing. But can I, should I, refer to it as a bad thing? Because it's God, a perfect God, who is responsible for life and for death. A perfect God decreed that Marley's passing would be on May 26, 2002. So her passing was perfect. Also, the work that God has done with that event. The last number that I've heard, there's over 80, 85, 90 young people who have come to know Christ when other ministers who were present that day at the service here used that service, used Marley's testimony as part of their presentation, and God used it to convert. God used it to bring someone to a saving knowledge of Him. So was Marley's passing a bad thing? the losing of a job. Many of you in this room have faced that turmoil, that trial of when it reaches into your very gut because the things you knew of are gone and you have to rebuild. Is that a bad thing? Or was it? Is it the opportunity God is using to do just as James is talking about? To grow your faith. To measure your faith. Maybe it is an accident that has debilitated you entirely. I have a cousin. His name is Zach, 16 years old. Driving home from school, pulled out in front of a large truck, and it hit at about 60 miles an hour the driver's side door. When the ETs arrived, they didn't work on him because they thought he was already deceased. But then they saw movement. And today, Zach is a sophomore at Lee University in his wheelchair. And he very proudly and very passionately says, God put me in this wheelchair because God knew where I was headed otherwise. And he'll tell you about the way he lived his life through high school. But he says, it's God who put me in this wheelchair. And now he has an extremely strong testimony of God providing for and caring for him as he wheels himself about around campus. Was his accident a bad thing? A continuous illness. Some of you in this room are plagued with an illness that just seemingly maintains and stays. How many of you in this room have been fortified and lifted up with Betty Godfrey and her stamina, her perseverance, her diligence? With a smile, she says, I have to go for another treatment. The continuous illness she has is giving the rest of us very little place to say, oh, my back hurts. Oh, my knees hurt. No. It is a place of faith. The unexpected death of a spouse. 2 weeks ago, a family associated, a friend of this congregation, Mr. Scott Bush, passed away. He visited here back in the spring. A dear friend to some here in this church, in his mid-40s, had a heart attack, passed away. Please pray for that family, because they have many long days yet ahead. But again, remember, it is God who has decreed the day of your passing, a perfect and good God. So was Scott's death a bad thing? Right now for that family, it is a horrible thing. But with the eternal implications that God will use for that? Are these bad things? Or are there things that God will use to cause us to grow in our faith? Now please understand me. I am drawing some very stark lines here. Because this room is filled with good people. And there are bad things that happen around this world all the time. But we as Christians must back up and say, from a biblical perspective, from God's idea of bad and good, how do we refer these things? Even in judgment, even in God's judgment, even in the disciplining of a servant, of a follower. When bad things come along and it is to a degree a judgment from God, a discipline from God. Can we refer to that as a bad thing? Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 tells us that He disciplines those He loves. So can we refer to those things as bad? Yes, they hurt. But you say, thank you, Father, for loving me enough that you wouldn't let me stay where I was. You moved me through that event. We should persevere.
James says, as I have read, that perseverance must finish its work. Our maturity in Christ depends on how we walk through the tough times. So, conclusion. When bad things happen to good people, that just might not be a proper statement. There's too many assumptions going on in that statement. But when the challenges come, we should ask in prayer diligently, Lord, is this a testing? Or is this discipline? I believe you will know. But in either case, the question is simply, Lord, what do you have for me in these events? What do you have for me in the way of growth in these events? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These, the sufferings, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. God has ordained and has allowed the trials and tribulations to come in life. And for you as a believer, they have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise. If you want to see the measure of your faith, be aware of your actions during the difficult time. Let us pray. And as we pray, gentlemen, if you would come and let us prepare for communion. Gracious Lord, these are very challenging things because, as I've said, this room is full of good people. Bad things happen all around the world. But, oh Lord, let us see these things through your eyes. Let us see these things through your teaching. Let us know of these things as you would have us know. And when these events come in our life, Lord, let us first reach out and grab hold even tighter of the hand which has a hold of us. Strengthen our faith in these things, Lord. Strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.